In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text of our devotion this evening is from Isaiah chapter 7, that one verse, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. A number of years ago, a friend of mine from my previous congregation made this picture for me. I'll bring it a little bit closer for those of you who don't have such good eyesight. I'm not picking on anybody, Debbie. Look at the picture in the middle, you can see God is there. I don't know if you can see that with folks online or not. And around it, this gentleman is quite an artist. He's the same guy that made a Bible cover for me out of leather. He just can work with anything. And he wrote all these different names for God, different names that you find throughout the scriptures. And it's really neat piece of art. You know, there's in here the shepherd, you know, Abba, Messiah, Alpha and Omega, I Am. You know, just a neat way to remember God, the names that he gives us. That's a unique thing in the scriptures, the names that God gives to himself to teach people about him. You find that throughout the Bible. Maybe we think first of all about Jesus himself and the names that he took on himself. In his ministry, he was often using these I am statements. Jesus would say things like, I am the bread of life. He would say, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Those names tell us a lot about Jesus. They also tell us a lot about our relationship with him, because in those names, he's telling us all the things that he has done for us and continues to do for us. In the Old Testament, the names that God gave to himself were a little bit different. You think Moses at the burning bush, and Moses said, you know, what's your name? What should I tell the people that they should call you? And he says, I am who I am. That's kind of a unique way to describe yourself. But then when God started making promises that he was going to send the Messiah, the names pointed ahead to that Messiah. And the people would hear those names and their attention was focused forward, because God had promised way back in the Garden of Eden that the offspring of the woman would come and crush the head of the devil. So they were looking for clues and indications when this Messiah was coming and what he'd be like and what he would do. In the Old Testament, they had no idea that he was going to be Jesus of Nazareth. That was a common name, Jesus, Joshua, but they had no idea. They were looking for different things. They were looking for this Messiah who would be born in the city of Bethlehem. That's the prophecy. He would be a prince of peace, right? He would be Emmanuel. The virgin will give birth to a son and we'll call him Emmanuel. And what does that mean? It means God with us. What a beautiful name. My friend included that on here. I think he's got Emmanuel. Yeah, right over here. Emmanuel means God with us. And every time you hear that word, that name, that's what you think of. Such a popular Christmas name, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Everybody knows that song. You put Emmanuel on your Christmas cards or your Christmas banner, somewhere in lights on your house. It's God with us. And what a special time, Christmas, to know and to have God with us. That's exactly what we want, isn't it? We want God with us. That's why we're here tonight. We want God with us. We know that he is. Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. We know that God comes to his people through his word. It's natural for us as Christians to want that. Because it's more than God just coming to us through his word. We know that God is with us in here. We know that God claimed us as his own, that when he used that gospel message to call us to faith, he took up residency in our heart. So truly, Emmanuel is right here in us. all the time. And as believers in that Savior, we love to be around his word with other believers, to know that God is here with us individually and congregationally. But we also know that he's Emmanuel at other times in our life. God is with us even when we're not here. Well, sure, Pastor, I know that. Jesus said, "Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." But he's Emmanuel when you are at work. He is with you when you are at home on your sofa. He is Emmanuel when you're driving in the rain on I-45 on your way to church. He's Emmanuel when you're in a traffic jam and somebody cuts you off. He's Emmanuel when you're out in the town. He's Emmanuel when you're with your friends. He's Emmanuel when you are all by yourself, making entertainment choices, clicking on links, using your social media. He's Emmanuel. That's not so comfortable for us. But it's true. As people of God, we know God is with us all the time. When you think about that, it causes us to maybe ask a couple of questions. What does God think? What does Emmanuel think of his people when he's with us all the time? What is he thinking about us when he sees and when he hears and when he knows everything about us? Another question that comes up is, well, how could God stay with us? The prophet Isaiah, a little bit later in this book, talked about how our sins, our iniquities, have separated us from God. We know our sin. We're fully aware of that sin. Even if we try to ignore it or try to hide it, it comes out when we go to the Word of God and God's law reveals it. It shows us our sin. How can God stay with us when our sins separate us from God? That's what the Scriptures tell us. How can he be Emmanuel for people like us? We might be tempted to think, well, maybe with us, but certainly not with those other people. Right? Because we're his people. We claim him, we worship him, we serve him, we try to share him. Maybe he's Emmanuel with us because we're trying really hard. That doesn't work. We're still sinners. And it doesn't matter who we are. We have no right to be in God's presence on our own. There's no way that we could invite God into our heart or we could prove to God that he should accept us. It doesn't work that way because of our sin. Sin separates us from God. So how can this be? How can Emmanuel come to a world full of sinners? And the answer is because God promised him. And God lovingly sent him into this world. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. God is promising that he is going to send his son into this world, to the people of this world. Why did he come? Hebrews told us. So that he could be like us in every way, be fully human, so that he could suffer and die for our sin. Why did Jesus do that? Because God so loved the world. Because God was so determined to keep his promise that he made way back in the Garden of Eden. And he worked out everything in the course of history so that he could keep his promise to be Emmanuel, God with us. And we receive all the benefits of that relationship. God is with us, so we know we have a Savior for all of those sins. God is with us so we know we no longer live in fear of death. God is with us so that we can live in confidence for the future. God is with us and we have a Savior. God is with us and we will spend an eternity with him in heaven. It's a marvelous demonstration of his grace when we consider our relationship with the Lord, that he would come to be our Savior. It's also a demonstration of his grace when we consider the context of this verse. Isaiah chapter 7, which is such a famous Old Testament prophecy, spoken by the prophet Isaiah to a king named Ahaz. Ahaz was ruling in the city of Jerusalem about 730 years before Jesus was born. And it was a terrible time, an awful time in the history of Israel. The nation of Israel had been split in two. The southern part was in Jerusalem, ruled by Ahaz. Then there was a northern kingdom in the city of Samaria, and they were just godless. It got so bad that the northern Jews wanted to fight against the southern Jews. They had a civil war going on, and the northern Jews found some enemy nations that were going to be their allies, and they were going to go to war against Ahaz in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord wanted Ahaz to know that he had nothing to be afraid of. You see, Ahaz was in the line of the Savior. If you go in the book of Matthew and read the genealogy of Jesus, you'll find the name Ahaz in there. He was a descendant of King David. He was a great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus. This was the line of the Savior. And so the Lord sent Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him, don't worry. It's going to be okay. I'm going to protect you. And God wanted him to be so sure of it that he said, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign and I'll do it. I'll give you a sign, whatever you want, so that you know I'm telling you the truth. Ahaz was an unbeliever. Even though he had the Lord's prophet coming to him, begging him, and God's heart going out to him, he said, I don't want it. The Lord said, well, you're going to get it anyway. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That beautiful Christmas gospel promise was first spoken to a guy like Ahaz, who wanted nothing to do with it. He rejected it. Didn't stop God. He kept that promise. That promise was recorded in Holy Scripture, and the people of Israel who did believe in God held it dear. Fast forward 730 years. When Joseph finds out that his soon-to-be wife is pregnant and he's destroyed, he's ready to quietly divorce her because he doesn't want to embarrass her, and the angel comes and says, don't worry. I've got a sign for you. Joseph was confused. The angel said the Holy Spirit's on her, and he took him back to that sign. The virgin will be with child, Joseph, and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This is going to be your son. When he's born, give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sin. Joseph, God is with you. Joseph, God is coming into this world to save the people of this world. And what did Joseph do? Exactly what that angel told him. Because Emmanuel had come, not just into this world, but into his heart. He believed it. That's what happens at Christmas. When we hear those Christmas names, remind us that God has come and assure us that God is still coming into this world. Sing, O come, Emmanuel, and it's not just a catchy Christmas song. It makes us think about all the special things this time of the year. It directs us to the promises of God. It assures us that he is with us. He came to be with us. I heard it right before Thanksgiving. I think the Wednesday, the Christmas station came on. I think it's Sunny 99 or something. It's all Christmas all the time. And that Christmas station has kind of a mixture of religious and secular songs. And both are kind of neat. I mean, if you don't like Christmas music, something's probably a little bit off about you. I'm just kidding. Not really. But don't you like, those Christmas songs, they make you feel good. It's the most wonderful time of the year when you're singing about snow and sleigh rides and presents under the tree. And yeah, it gets you all going. And then the religious songs, right? And we love those as well. But because God came to us, because he's Emmanuel, our Christmas doesn't depend on certain song or emotion or experience. We can certainly pray, Lord, don't let it snow. We'd like some warm weather. Because Emmanuel has come. He's with us. No matter what's going on in our world or what's going on in our life, it's a beautiful thing about this name, this promise of God. He's Emmanuel. He's with us in our heart, in our life, and promises that we'll be with him forever in heaven. My friend who made this picture, his name used to be Ahaz. Met him when he was 73 years old. And his wife had joined our church, and he is not a Christian. And he came to church because his wife went to church. He wasn't a Christian. He decided to join our Bible information class, more to be a pain than to do anything else. But something happened during those 13 weeks. It was Emmanuel. Emmanuel happened. When he heard the gospel, Emmanuel happened in his heart and changed his heart. And at 73 years old, he was baptized. I remember doing that baptism. And after he was baptized, he took communion with his wife and his son and daughter-in-law and his daughter for the first time as a family. It was Thanksgiving Eve, I think. And then stand in front of the altar, and there he is, Ahaz. That wasn't his real name. But he was a believer now. He made that beautiful picture for me. Emmanuel. That's what he does. That's what he does for God's people. He changes things for us. He changes us. Not just once, but all the time. He changes the way we look at other people. Because if God would send his prophet to Ahaz and to that friend of mine, certainly he's going to send him to us. He wants us. He wants everybody. He wants to use us to bring the message of Emmanuel to the people of this world. He changes the way we view life in this world. He keeps changing us so that he can build in us that trust. That trust that comes from knowing that he's with us and hearing those beautiful promises. I'm with you always. I'm your Emmanuel. God with you in this life, in your home, in your heart. And you'll be with me forever in heaven. This Christmas season, think about those names. You'll sing about them, you'll hear them, and maybe write them in a Christmas card. He's Emmanuel. He's God with you now and God with you always. Amen.